Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during the broadcast, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to address them. So tonight I'm really excited because I have one of our wonderful support group members with us to talk about her story, and her name is Blanca. Blanca, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie.
And for people who may be confused, yes, Blanca's not our first Blanca. Who was also on the show earlier. This is our later Blanca, Blanca C. So, like I say, she's more than happy to come tonight and talk about her story. So, Blanca, you know, right now I'm in the process of putting together a new book that I think will be a really important book about letters to our gay ex-husbands, telling them how we feel, what they've done to us, and the emotional impact and the stress impact that it's had on us for so many years. Because unfortunately, when these men come out, and you know, I understand the phenomenon that they're hailed as heroes because they have the strength of their conviction to lead their authentic life without any regard to those of us who were their partners for so many years and who gave so much of our lives only to be, you know, mentally beaten down or sometimes even physically beaten down. And no one really has any concerns about how we feel or what we've gone through. So maybe we can start off with that. Let's first start off with your story about how long you were married.
So I was married 19 years. And my story, well, first of all, you know, I never saw any signs or anything. I mean, I, you know, there was some abuse per se, or the way I was being treated, but, you know, I just, you know, in a way you kind of mentally accept it, or you kind of say, okay, this is the way my marriage is, this is the way he is, so you accept it. But everything just, you know, again, I was married 19 years, and I just found out early January, so that's how that's how I received 2022, because I confronted him about some behavior, and, you know, it started with him being, saying that he was confused. Then from there, he went into, I think I'm bisexual. And then I started finding out stories about his encounters only with men, that he had been living a secret life for 4 to 5 years that I'm aware of, maybe longer. And so that's pretty much how it started. Like I said, I had no idea. I had a feeling something was going on, maybe a midlife crisis. I started suspecting maybe some, you know, cheating on the side, but never what, you know, being, you know, what I was faced with in January, where, you know, secret life, being gay, having this feeling since he was 16, then went away. I asked him, why did you marry me? So it was a lot of feelings. I don't, I've shared this with you, Bonnie, but I don't remember much of January, February, March, part of April, after all these, because I was just mentally, emotionally just distraught. I didn't believe it.
Yeah, well, it's very devastating to hear this news after nearly 20
yeah.
years in a marriage with somebody. Now, when you
mm-hmm.
first got married, did you notice anything was off about the marriage?
I always kept getting the story of, you know, sex is not important. That was pretty much, you know, with a newly married couple, you know, I know sex is not everything, but, you know, there was a period of time where it was what I thought was okay, but then it started going away, and I could never understand why. And the intimacy was the biggest one, you know, which is beyond sex. It was just not there, and it started going away very early on. And it was always blamed on me, you know, to the point that I just stopped asking. but that was probably within the first 5 years of marriage, it started going away, and it was blamed on me. And then it just got worse with the years.
I think that's very common in these marriages, because these men don't really want to be there. And even though they're the ones who wanted to marry us, now they feel stuck. Because the longer we're in their marriage, the more that desire to be, you know, act on their homosexuality comes out. And whether they were trying to avoid it before, deny it before, ignore it before, it was always there for them. Would you say that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, you know, it was beyond the sex. It was the intimacy. The closeness, the, you know, why don't you touch me? Why don't you hug me? Why don't you cuddle with me at night? Why don't you kiss me goodnight? I mean, probably the last 2-3 years, like, I would beg for a kiss goodnight, and I would be made feel like I was asking for too much. Just a kiss goodnight. To the point that I bought a sign for above my bed that says, kiss me goodnight, and I joke with him. I said, you know, you have a reminder right there before you go to bed. So when you read it, so you can remember to kiss me goodnight. And inside of me, I was dying. It was very painful to joke about that. But you know, he would just like, okay, whatever, and the behavior wouldn't change. Just something as simple as a kiss goodnight.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I always say with these men, what they don't realize is how humiliating it is for us as their wives who love them and who think that they should be loving us the same way. And when we're made to be felt devalued because we want sex like normal women want it, and we're told mm-hmm. that, you know, either we're too aggressive. I used to say I was a nymphomaniac. You know, I was only 28 at the time. I mean, it was just because I wanted to have sex, you know, a couple times a week. And when he said that to me, well, what are you, a nymphomaniac? You know, it's like so hurtful that you just stop mm-hmm. asking after a while. Did you find that too?
Oh, yes. I remember when I would ask, or I would try, at least try to just, you know, touch him, and it was like he would always like have some kind of a reaction where I felt rejected, and I would just stop asking. And one time I literally counted the months, and it was over a year that he did not touch me, reacted to any of my advances, and we didn't have sex. And it was hurtful. And I would cry myself to sleep every time that I would try. And I knew he would hear me. And that was probably the more hurtful thing, that he knew he was doing this to me and he didn't care. And, you know, sometimes I would get really upset about the situation after several weeks or months, and I would ask him directly, and all I would get was to stare straight to the wall of the bedroom and say nothing. There's nothing. You know, I have prostate problems or testosterone problems, or, you know, I have urethra problems. And I'm like, yeah, but what about me? What about you wanting to touch me, or you wanting to be close to me? And I would explain the whole, it's not all about sex. And he would say, because all you want is sex. And I said, no, I just want to feel close to you. You know, I have needs too. I understand you can't, but what about me? I would try to have those conversations, and they were avoided like the plague.
I think the thing I hold most against them is they break our feminine spirit. And,
yes.
You know, they take that's a gift to us that we're born with. You know, that makes us feel like a woman, that gives
mm-hmm.
us, you know, the chills when we're with someone, that makes us feel romantic. And that's a gift that we're, you know, it's a God-given gift, and they rob us of that. They take it away,
yeah.
They destroy it, they stamp on it, and they defeminize us so that we don't want to ask for sex. And some women are truly wounded for many years following their marriages because of that. You know, I know
mm-hmm.
for me it took a long time, 11 years that I was celibate before I, you know, saw someone again, because I was so afraid that I'd be a failure, because that's how I was made to feel that whole time in my marriage. Did you feel that way too?
Yes. Even to this day, I mean, it's, you know, I kind of go back and forth between saying, you know, it's only been 8 months, or it's already been 8 months, because it feels like forever, and yet it hasn't been that long at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, like, I look at myself in the mirror and I ask myself, why wasn't I enough? You know, why?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm start crying. you know, I look at other men and I always like look at them and I'm like, what are you hiding? Like, my trust for men is gone. The way I view myself, you know, I've been working really hard on trying to rebuild myself, because even since childhood I've had self-esteem issues, and he knew them. He knows everything about me, and for him to take advantage of that, and even or at least that's the way it feels on my end, that he took advantage of that, and he knew that I had those weaknesses, and he just stepped all over them and made me feel even worse about myself. you know, with the rejection and everything. I mean, it's very, it crushes you. It crushes you as a woman. It crushes you as a human being. And you doubt yourself for whether you're worth anything anymore, or why would somebody not want you? Why would your husband, the person that is supposed to care for you and love you and cherish you for the rest of your life, would do something like that? So it's very crushing.
I think it takes a long time to get past. You know, first of all, like you said, it takes away the trust that you had, because you trusted this man to do the right thing by you, to love you, to take care of your emotional needs, your sexual needs, your physical needs. And he went back on that, you know, vow that he made to you. And I'm sure that he didn't take responsibility for it either, right?
Nope, he takes no responsibility. As a matter of fact, he's a victim in this whole situation. I'm being blamed for a lot of things. Yeah, it's, I'm into this day, and, you know, I don't know how to explain, but when you're in it, it plays with your emotions, it plays with your head, it plays with everything, and you know that what they're saying is not right, you know that what they're doing is not right, but reacting to it, it's different, because you're so traumatized, you're so emotionally attached to the situation, you're so emotionally invested in it for many years, and you just want at least in my perspective, I just wanted to go away. I just wanted to go away. Yeah.
You're looking to escape.
Yeah.
So after you found out, you know, it's been, what, about 6 months now?
8 months. It was very early January, yes.
Okay. How did he react when you confronted him on this?
Very cold. He had this very just straight, cold look in his eyes. And he kept saying, I'm confused. I think I'm bisexual. And he would not get out of that. And like I said earlier, even though all his encounters or relationships or whatever you want to call them were with men.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept telling him, no, you're gay. And that's about the time that I started doing a lot of research and I came across your support group, you know, and I listened, you know, to Dr. Ira and all the feedback, you know, your podcast. And I'm like, no, he's gay, you know, he's gay, but he kept telling himself he was bisexual. And, you know, and the thing that made it worse is that we still lived together for 4 months after I found out. He was still sleeping in the same bed I was, so we were still having pretty much the same routine, the same everything for about 4 months after I found out. So that's what made it even worse. And he didn't stop. He would go out and at gay bars. He would come home at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. He would get upset whenever I would wake up because he would walk into the bedroom. And I would be like, but you just walked into the bedroom, so I felt you walking in. Well, why are you waking up? And, you know, the texting, the getting up in the middle of the night and sitting in the toilet looking at, you know, the gay site, Grindr, gay chat, because I would see him, like, you know, swiping whatever, right or left. So it's, you know, the texting, the calls, to this day, you know, it's like he's just slapping his new lifestyle in front of my face, and there's no regard. He just came back from an 8-day cruise that he was going to take a boyfriend with him, and I think he ended up taking somebody with him anyway. So it's like, you know, when is this going to stop? Just leave.
So let me ask you this. How about children?
I have a son from a previous marriage that he
mm-hmm.
raised in, he was about 3-4 years old, but
mm-hmm.
the relationship was never good.
Did he look at your husband
so
as a father?
I'm sorry?
Did your child look at your husband as a father?
He never, my son never could. Once he was older, probably after his teenage years, they started getting a little closer.
Uh-huh.
But no, they never had a relationship. As a matter of fact, I literally left my husband about 3 or 4 times because of how he treated my son.
Uh-huh.
And he blamed me for that too, that I took away those things, and I, you know, his self-esteem, and he felt that he was worthless, and that's the big reason why, you know, a lot of his behavior changed, and there's a lot of blame beyond that. So he doesn't take accountability for the way he treated my son, the way he treated me, the things that happened in our marriage. It's all me.
What about, we were talking earlier about, you know, he doesn't really have any boundaries with you. He still expects you to listen to his stories about his boyfriends and his dating. Is that correct?
Yeah. He has come a couple of times. First of all, he claims he still wants me in his life. He loves me a lot. He doesn't want anything to change. Except the obvious, quote unquote. Those are exactly his words.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he has walked in here, and all he does is talk about him. And you know, he says he doesn't have boyfriends, yet that's not what he tells other people. But to me, he tells me they're just friends. In the gay community, it's just friends. Going on dates is different. It's not the same as going on dates in a heterosexual relationship. And I still don't understand what the difference is, but that's beyond me. I get the twisted story, because everybody gets a different story. So I'm not even sure how many realities he lives in, or how many lies he tells everybody, because everybody gets a different story or a slightly different version of stories. And but yeah, he still wants me to be in his life. He wanted for me to go on a weekend trip with him that we had booked last year, and he cannot understand why I said no. You know, I call him by his name, and he tells me, you know, pretty much don't call him by his name. And I'm like, well, do you still want me to call you Babe? Because that was our pet name to each other, Babe.
Mm-hmm.
And he still expects me to call him Babe. He says, well, I still consider you my wife. You're still my wife. And I'm like, in paper?
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of things that really, you know, for us, or at least for me, that I'm in it, it really plays with my head. It really messes with my emotions, where, you know, I have to like pull myself to the side and remind myself, no, this is your reality. No, this is what's going on, and like collect myself and then be able to just continue with my day. Because in that moment, I get so caught up and so angry, and I want, you know, I want to make him understand, and he's never going to understand.
Well, that's not true. Why do you say that?
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A lot of times time changes a lot of stuff. But the point is that these guys, even though they leave and even though they're at fault, they still don't take any responsibility for it.
Mm-mm.
You know, the blame still comes back to you.
Yes.
You know, they didn't do anything that wrong. Why can't you forgive them? Why can't you let them back in? Why can't they move back in with you? Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, mine still lives in the guest house. He finally moved out of the house in April. He moved to the guest house, and, yeah, he wants, you know, at one point he pretty much asked me if he could bring a friend to the property, and I said, absolutely not. You live your life outside of this property. You're not bringing anybody here.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, unbelievable.
The problem is they don't know any limits, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What kind of relationship do you have with him now?
It's, I don't reach out to him unless I need to, because believe it or not, we still share our finances. So I'm the one that pays the bills.
Mm-hmm.
He still lives in the guest house, so we still share our account. So we still have our joint account where his paycheck and my paycheck still come in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through a divorce in South Carolina. They have a law that if it's, you know, under adultery, you can file under adultery, and you don't have to wait the 1 year. So that's
mm-hmm.
how we are going through it. So as soon as that gets done, we'll be done with that. But
now,
he Blanca, reaches out for just...
Wants, is he saying he wants a divorce also or not?
No, he does not. He does not want a divorce. He never asked for it. I'm the one that's doing this to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that he just doesn't understand, that, you know, this is not something that we can stay married about. But yeah, so like I said, I don't reach out to him unless I need to. He reaches out more than I do to him. And it's very odd, because at least on my end, like, he still wants to reach out and kind of have a friendship, but then I don't hear from him in many days.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden he shows up at my door and wants to do something for me. So it's
uh-huh.
like, for me, it's very, I don't know what he wants. I don't know what
uh-huh.
kind of relationship he wants. He says he wants a friend. He wants for everything to stay the same except for the obvious, that he wants me in his life. But everything that he does has nothing to do with my life. He's living his life. He has this group of friends that he talks about, his support group. And, you know, of course, none of them are his boyfriends. Yet, it's very confusing, Bonnie, because I don't know what he wants. And I try to step away, and I try to stay to the side and have no contact with him as much as I can. And then all of a sudden, like I said, he just reaches out, and he like needs to have that fishing line hooked
mm-hmm.
on me for whenever he needs me, because he only reaches out to me when he's having a panic attack. He only reaches out to me when he's in pain or hurt or something's happening with him. That's the only time that he reaches out to me to get my reaction, because he knows I'm very caring, and I'm going to react to it, and I'm going to be, what's wrong? What, you know, how can I help you? What do I do for you? Which I've stopped a lot, but I would be the one that, oh, you're hungry, let me feed you, or let me make you some food, or, you know, let me go to the grocery store for you. And I've stopped all that, and it's taken me a long time. I mean, my friends probably, you know, wanted to choke me many times, but that was who I am, and it's really hard for me to put those boundaries, because I had none with him.
So let me ask you this question: from the time that you met him, how long were you going together before you got married?
So we went out for a short period of time, right after I separated from my first husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then we broke it off. And then we got back together after my divorce and everything. And then we went out together. We probably went out less. It was less than a year before he was buying a house. And I started going with him to look at houses. And I ended up helping him, giving him the down payment for a house. And we got serious rather quickly. And next thing you know, we are planning our wedding, which we were going to get married in October, and we ended up moving it up to March of that year.
Do you think that if you would have known longer before you got married, would that have made a difference?
Potentially, yes. And the reason I say that is because most of his relationships only lasted three months. I am his longest relationship ever. And one of the things that attracted me to him was that he wasn't a womanizer, we had very similar interests of travel. You know, he wasn't the type of guy that was always watching sports, which I did not like either. You know, those were the things that attracted me to him. And then later on, this developed into, you know, because I had just gotten out of a very abusive relationship with my first husband. So I was looking for totally the opposite of that.
Were your first husband's parents abusive to him?
No, but his dad was a womanizer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there was a lot of I know he witnessed abuse on my mother-in-law, my ex-mother-in-law, because my ex-father-in-law was very abusive to my mother-in-law. Yes. Yeah.
But you didn't have any of the physical abuse with the gay husband, right?
I did not. No, and actually the abuse didn't come until later in our marriage, and it was more of the mental, verbal,
emotional,
right. It came very slowly, and it came very slowly because I didn't notice it until I was already, I started seeing signs of depression.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, they put us into these depressions, and you just don't feel like going on. Because they're taking everything from you, every ounce of self-respect, self-esteem, sexual esteem, self-worth, and they just drain you of all of that so that you just do get depressed. I know I certainly was.
Yeah,
a few times I really
felt
suicidal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know I had those thoughts a couple of times, and I had to snap myself out of it because I had those thoughts when I was going through my first divorce. So I know what they feel like. I already know the pattern. So, and I promised myself I will never be in that situation again. So as soon as I started noticing the pattern, I will snap myself out of it. Okay, this is not worth it. It's not that bad. And I think that that's what made me kind of cling even more to him, because this is not who he is. This is not who I married. And I started idolizing the relationship that I wanted to have more so than the truth that I had in front of me. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I just feel there's so many different long-term effects that these marriages have on us, not only while we're going through them, but also for our future and our future relationships. Because it's going to take a long time before you can trust someone again, right?
Right. Yeah. When I look at some men, it's funny because not because I'm looking for anybody, but I look at men and I look at couples, and you know how the husband hugs the wife or things like that. Like you know, when I go to church and things, and then I see, you know, men that are by themselves, I don't see a wedding ring, and then I look at them and I'm like, huh, I wonder what you're hiding. You know, like my brain goes there, and then I kind of just, okay, Blanca, don't do that. but yeah, it's, I have issues with trust.
Blanca, did you ever think during your marriage that maybe he was cheating on you?
Not until the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
of
his behavior.
Did you confront him on it?
No, because I was already so down in my self-esteem. I just never, I don't know how to explain it because I don't have an answer for it. I just never did.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed the behavior with the phone. You know, like he would show me something or I would try to grab his phone to do something and he would take it away from me or he would never let it go. And I'm like, what are you hiding? You know, it's just your phone. You're just showing me a picture or things like that that were different, or him always on his phone or his computer or, you know, things like that. And he would never, like, he would put it away or always face it down. And like I said, it became a lot more obvious within the last year, which later on I found out that, you know, he had, you know, a relationship going on with somebody in Orlando, a male, and then he had all these other things going on as well with other guys. So, you know, plus the Grindr app and all these things that he had on his phone. So that's why he was so secretive with his phone and the password and the fingerprint, you know. So he added all that, which we never had that before. And, you know, here's my phone. I would give it to him.
How long do you think he was on Grindr?
I have no idea how long he's been on Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. But I know he was constantly on it. and he got even worse after he came out because now he didn't have to hide from me. And that's exactly the behavior that he had. Now you know, so I don't have to hide anymore. So everything was literally on my face all the time, and it still is, except that he lives in the apartment now, in the guest house, and I don't have to see it 24/7 like when he was here living in the house with me.
Mm-hmm. But you also don't have to keep listening to it either. And I think this is one of the mistakes we make, that all of a sudden we became their confidants. You know, they want to tell us all their secrets. They want to come to us for love advice. I know mine was like that. You know, I'd have to listen to every relationship he was getting into. And after a while, I had to say to him, you know, this is really hurtful to me. You know, I haven't recovered yet from being separated or divorced. I'm not over it yet, and here you are asking me for love advice. Like I'm Ann Landers or somebody, you know, or Dear Abby. And I said, that's really unfair to me. He says, well, I just needed your help. I didn't think you would really mind. I said, well, I do mind. And I think we have to tell them, because we have to set these boundaries, because they don't have any. You know, they oversurpass all boundaries that you set for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, he wanted me to go on a weekend trip, and I'm like, no. I said, you realize we're not a couple anymore. And he got really upset. And then he got hurt because I called him by his name, and I didn't call him babe. And I'm like, those days are over. So I know for a lot of us it's really hard to set those boundaries because it hurts. It hurts a lot. And
it does. Especially,
and
you
those,
know what? Here's the problem, Blanca. We loved these men for a long time. All of a sudden, everything changes. But we're not like a faucet where you can just turn us on and turn us off. You know, feelings for most of us just don't go away that fast. And there's still a part of us that feels that need to be their friend, be involved in their life. you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I know I did it. You know, I'm not happy about it. But, you know, we do what we feel is best at the time that we're doing it. And it's really hard just to break away and say it's over. Don't call me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was able to do that after, you know, many years. You know, that we weren't married for many years. But he would call me every day and take up my time. But one day I just had to say to him, you know, we're not married anymore. I don't want to talk to you every morning anymore. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. And you go on with your life and I'll go on with mine. And sometimes you just have to be able to say that, or half of it.
Yeah,
right?
I have had those conversations with him, you know, where I have to remind him, you know, we're going through a divorce. We're not a couple anymore. You know, and like you say, it's just it hurts. It hurts a lot because you know, we've loved them, we've cared for them, we've done things for them, we have memories. I was telling you know, some really good friends of mine today that even looking back at pictures, all those memories are tainted now. So it's hard. It's really hard to just to turn it off. I've even told them one time that, because I was really hurt, and I told them, I said, you realize that you have 4 or 5 years ahead of me of disconnecting.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I said, and you just, I'm just 8 months in. I said, I can't process. I can't. You still have to give me time, because he expects me to just be done and flip the switch and accept it. And he even told me that 2 weeks after he told me. He goes, it's been 2 weeks already. Why can't you just accept it? And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So I just decided that one of the biggest things that has helped me is that I just got closer to God. And I've always been religious. I've always believed. But because he doesn't believe, I disconnected from all that. And when I connected, I got reminded about forgiveness and how forgiveness is not for them, it's for us. And that has made a huge difference in my life on working towards healing, because I don't want to carry that anger in my future. I don't want to carry that anger into another relationship, because I know I will find somebody else, and I will find somebody that is going to love me and accept me and care for me and cherish me for who I am. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be in 5, you know, 10 years. Might be after 11 years like you, Bonnie. But, it, you know, I know it will happen for me, and I want it to be somebody that has those, you know, beliefs, you know, in God and what love truly means, and,
right,
and you know,
exactly.
the
values,
biblical,
that you have.
Yes. And
you don't have to compromise
this,
your values for anybody.
Right, and I always did.
Mm-hmm.
With him, I always did.
Right. Well, you know what? Moving ahead. Every day you're going to get stronger. You know, you're doing so great because you're only, you know, a few months out of this. It takes a long time to recover, and every time you're moving 2 steps ahead, you go another step back. Then the memories jolt you. You know, it's just, like I say, it's a process. And that's why
mm-hmm.
you're doing so great, and I'm really glad you shared this with everyone to show how you can move ahead, and you don't have to compromise who you are. The new person that you find will have your values. So
right.
I can't believe our time is up, but I really appreciate so much you coming on the show. And hopefully you'll come back
in the
winter time, and we'll do an update and see how things are going. How's that?
I love that. I know there's brighter days ahead for sure, like your song says in the introduction.
Absolutely. You can now see clearly. The rain is gone.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, sweetie. Well, thank you so much again. You know, I love you, and I'm here for you whenever you need me.
I love you too, and again, thank you for everything you do for us.
No problem at all. All right. Love to all of you. Have a good week and good night.